Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about prophecy. It's been a while since I have done a prophetic program, but I think we could all use some encouragement. And that ought to be the outcome of prophetic studies. Not fear, but hope. 1 Corinthians 1:7, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today's program is not about telltale signs in the Middle East, or about the agenda of the UN and the globalists. I want us to learn a text of prophetic scripture. For me, one of the most encouraging prophecies is Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. For me, that text is as encouraging as Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, or Revelation 22:20, behold, I come quickly. And I hope that by the time we are finished, you will also love Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. It is actually one of the most overlooked prophetic passages of Scripture because no one really knows what it means. And even if theologians might suspect it means what we're going to talk about today, very few dare to say it. Kylan Delitzsch, the famous technical commentary on the Old Testament, says that Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, the reference to 2 days forsaking and on the third day a resurrection, is not a reference to actual numbers of days, but it symbolically represents the fact that God will bring something to pass soon and speedily. Jewish rabbis have taken the text to refer to the three periods of the temple. First Solomon's temple, then Zerubbabel's temple, and then the one to be built by the Messiah. Or that it's a reference to the three restorations of Israel. First, they were restored out of Egypt. Second, they were restored out of Babylon. And on the third day, they will be restored from all of the nations by the Messiah. Now, many of the early church fathers and the reformers took Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 to be another prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he would be forsaken by God for 2 days, but be raised on the third day. But even the reformer John Calvin wrote in his commentary that it's not a solid prophecy of Jesus' resurrection, but just a general exhortation to God's people to bear with God's delay. In due time, God will resurrect us. Now, most contemporary commentaries on my shelf see Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 as a veiled reference to Christ's resurrection on the third day. But even then, all of these commentaries only dedicate a few sentences to this verse. I checked out two dispensational commentaries on my shelf, one by Dwight Pentecost, the other by Tim LaHaye, and they never even mention this verse in their list of prophetic passages. The Bible Knowledge Commentary, put out by Dallas Theological Seminary, simply says about this text that Israel will turn to the Lord as her source of healing and life. Assyria will not be able to cure Israel, but the Lord is able, even though like a lion he has torn them to pieces. The people will confidently anticipate his forthcoming restoration of their national vitality. The equivalent expressions after 2 days and on the third day refer to a short period of time, indicating that they expect the revival to occur soon. So what does Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 actually mean? Let me read the text again. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. I would like you to consider the possibility that Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 is a prophecy that Jesus will forsake Israel for 2 millennia, and on the 3rd millennia, Jesus will return and bring upon true Israel and the church the resurrection and the millennial promises. This is a prophecy of the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of the saints. Now, if we were living in 950 AD or AD 1750, it would be easy to say that is a dubious, speculative interpretation that ought to be silenced. But we are now living at the end of the second millennium. We are entering the 3rd millennium since Christ rose from the dead and went to be with the Father. And practically, unless Christ will not return for another 1,000 years, Christ's return will be in the 3rd millennium. He will certainly not come in the 1st or the 2nd millennium, for those times have already passed. It is likely that he will come in the 3rd millennium, as Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 may imply. And remember, Jesus said, when you see the fig tree putting forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Israel is referred to throughout the Old Testament as the fig tree. Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its season. And in the Passion Week, Jesus cursed a fruitless fig tree on his way into Jerusalem. And it wasn't because Jesus was angry because he wanted figs for breakfast. That fig tree was symbolic of Israel. When you see the fig tree putting forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Israel is back in the land as a nation. The Jews are regathered. And a 3rd millennium, return of Christ and a resurrection looks quite likely. So Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, that he will revive us, Israel, after 2 days, and he will raise us up on the 3rd day, may very well be a prophecy about the length of our present church age and the coming of the Lord. Now, in order to appreciate this prophecy, there are a number of underlying truths that I want you to consider. First, the word day in the Old Testament, yom, often doesn't refer to a literal 24-hour period of time. If you don't understand this, you'll think it's completely foolish to interpret 2 days as having any reference to 2,000 years. But in the Hebrew, yom can be used of ages, such as the Hebrew phrase, the day of the Lord. It's not a reference to the day of the Lord taking place in a 24-hour period. But it's the time of God's wrath and deliverance, which according to the book of Revelation will take place over a period of 3.5 years. And we do the same thing in English. We say, he will have his day, or the day of reckoning. We're not talking about a literal 24-hour period, but a period of time. And so Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 is not giving an exact chronology, but is describing the relationship between God forsaking Israel and God's restoration of Israel. There will be a 2-to-3 relationship. And obviously, in the immediate context of Hosea, God did not overthrow the punishment he had planned for northern Israel at the hands of the Assyrians after just 2 days. Hosea wrote in about 753 BC, and the Assyrians destroyed northern Israel about 30 years later in 722 BC. The Babylonians destroyed southern Israel in 586 BC, and any restoration didn't occur until 538 BC, when the Jews returned from exile. So the revival after 2 yams, spoken of in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, must refer to something greater in Israel's history. Second, notice in this text how the revival is described. He will revive us after 2 days. The Hebrew word here means to come to life. It's used in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord kills and he makes alive. It's used in 2 Kings 8:5. concerning the woman whose son Elijah had restored to life. Same word is used in Ezekiel's prophecy, where the Lord brings back to life the people of Israel from the grave. Ezekiel 37:5. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. Now, Hosea chapter 6 certainly includes spiritual revival. The bandaging is both spiritual and physical, because in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, the prophecy is that before the return of Jesus, God will pour out his spirit upon the Jews. And many Jews will repent and believe upon Jesus. As we read in Revelation chapter 7, there will be 144,000 Jews who will receive the Lord in the apocalypse. And they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they will receive the Messiah. But Hosea 6 is not just about a spiritual revival. It's about Israel being brought out of the grave on the third day. As Hosea 6:2 goes on to explain, he will raise us after 2 days that we may live before him. Resurrection language. Now, I believe the us is not just referring to saved Jews, but to all of the saved. Together, both Jews and Gentiles make up true Israel. There is the one body of Christ. The saved Gentiles are the sheep who are not of this fold, who will become part of God's one flock. John 10:1. We are the ones who will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. And the saved Gentiles have entered into the household of God with the saved Jews. Ephesians 2:19. So I believe Hosea 6 is not simply referring to the resurrection of Old Testament Jewish saints or tribulation age Jewish saints, but to all true Israel, the people of God, Jews and Gentiles. Third, consider the fact that the entire church age, the last 2,000 years, has been a time where national Israel, God's program with the physical descendants of Abraham, has been abandoned, torn, wounded. In the context, Hosea is speaking about the judgment that will come upon national Israel because of her sin. Hosea 5:2, Israel has revolted and gone into deep depravity. Chapter 5, verse 4, their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is within them. Verse 7, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord. Verse 10, the princes of Judah have become like those who move a boundary. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to follow man's command. Therefore, God says to them in chapter 5, verse 15, I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. That sounds exactly like what Jesus said to Jerusalem. You will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 21 that Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, God has given them the spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And in Romans 11:25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. So back to Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. After the second Yom, and on the third Yom, Jesus will bandage the Israel he has wounded. And when they are revived, what will be the benefit for the Gentile believers? The church. Our resurrection will come about. Romans chapter 11, verse 15. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will be their acceptance but life from the dead? when Israel is restored in the future, and God begins to work with Israel in the 70th week of Daniel, that will be on the cusp of the coming of Christ and the resurrection. Fourth, consider the context and the overall teaching of Hosea. If the book of Hosea was simply a book about historical events in Israel's past, then the right interpretation to Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 would mean that it's a reference to some local event in Israel's past, having no bearing on the future. But in that the book of Hosea is a summation of God's entire dealings with national Israel, it would not be unusual to find in Hosea's prophecy the length of Israel's diaspora. The whole book of Hosea is about Hosea's personal life becoming a picture of God's dealings with national Israel over the centuries. Hosea marries a wife who has an adulterous heart. She leaves him for other men. So Hosea brings her back or redeems her back to himself. But he doesn't receive her back immediately as a wife. He imposes upon her a time of probation. And in the same way, God made a covenant with the Jews. He married Israel, but the Jews were unfaithful. So God brings them back, but he sets them aside for a period of probation. Hosea chapter 3, verse 3. Then I said to her, "You shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or household idols. But afterwards, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days." So the entire book of Hosea is an overview of God's dealing with Israel from beginning to end. So it would not be unusual to see the prophecies in Hosea chapter 6 as referring to God's reviving Israel after two millennia. During the church age, Israel has remained many days without a king or a prince, without a temple, without sacrifices. And the fact that Israel is now restored nationally is a sign that the probation of Hosea 3:5 is coming to an end. Paul even quotes Hosea as a prophecy that applies to the church. Romans 9:25, Paul quotes Hosea chapter 1, verse 9. "I will call those who are not my people, my people." It's a reference to the prophetic inclusion of the Gentiles. So the book is teaching a long-term prophetic view of God's dealings with Israel. Fifth, consider the prophetic symmetry and typology of Scripture. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. As Jesus was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, Israel was put to test 40 years in the wilderness. As Jesus ministered for 3.5 years to Israel, the prophets in the book of the Revelation will minister for 3.5 years. What we see in Scripture is that what spiritually happens in the life of the individual Christian is seen in the entire history of Israel. And what spiritually happened to Israel happens to Christ as he identifies with his people. In Isaiah chapter 53, both Israel and Christ are the suffering servants of the Lord. Remember Isaac? His life represented more than just the life of Isaac. His life was a picture of Christ, like the life of all Christians. Isaac's birth was miraculous. And according to Paul in Galatians chapter 4, the life of Sarah, his mother, and Hagar become allegories of two covenants. Covenant of grace versus the covenant of law. So it would not be unusual for there to be a parallel between Christ being 2 days in the grave and raised on the third day to Israel being forsaken for two millennia and raised on the third millennium. Consideration number 6. The interpretation that each day represents a millennium and that there's a pattern of seven millennia, five are finished, two are left to go, has its roots in early church fathers. It's not as if this is a new interpretation made up by Pastor Brad or some 21st century prophetic televangelist. This interpretation goes back to the early church. For example, the Epistle of Barnabas, written very early, before 150 AD. The author may or may not have been the Barnabas we read about in the book of Acts. It's an early church letter that never made it into the New Testament because it lacks the doctrinal depth and the insights of inspired scripture. But it's a very early letter. And the church father, Clement of Alexandria, who lived from 150 to 215, quoted Barnabas frequently. Whoever wrote the book lived very close to the teachings of the original apostles. In the letter of Barnabas we read, "Give heed, children, to what this means. He ended in 6 days." He means this, that in 6,000 years the Lord shall bring all things to an end. For a day with him signifies 1,000 years, and this he himself bears witness, saying, "Behold, the day of the Lord shall be as 1,000 years. Therefore, children, in 6 days, that is in 6,000 years, everything shall come to an end." So Barnabas' teaching here is that just as there were 6 days of creation, and the Lord rested on the seventh day, there will be 6,000 years of human history, and the final seventh, that final 1,000 years, will be the Lord's day, the millennial reign of Christ. Well, according to biblical chronology, about 4,000 years of human history preceded the coming of Christ. Plus now there's been 2,000 years since Christ's first coming. And so we're not just coming upon the ending of 2,000 years of Israel's rejection. We're also coming upon the ending of the first 6,000 years of human history. Now the second church father to mention this interpretation is Irenaeus, who lived from 130 AD to about 200 AD. Irenaeus was an evangelical defender of the Christian faith. He would fit right in with Protestant evangelicalism today. Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. And Irenaeus writes, "For in as many days as this world was made, in so many 1,000 years shall it be concluded. God brought to a conclusion upon the sixth day the work that he had made. And God rested upon the seventh day from all of his works. This is an account of the things formerly created. This is also a prophecy of what's to come. For the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and in 6 days created things were completed. It's evident, therefore, that they will come to an end in the year 6,000. Now, we don't determine our doctrine by the words of the early church fathers. But when the early church fathers have a particular teaching, it does carry some weight. So those are 6 truths to consider in interpreting the meaning of Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. But I know what you're thinking. If Hosea 6, 2 is truly a prophecy of the length of the church age and the return of the Lord, what about Acts chapter 1, verse 7? Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority." In Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone." Well, first, it's not as if Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 was a prophecy that the church for the last 2,000 years is interpreted to refer to the timing of Christ's coming. It was a text that was totally overlooked. It's only now, after 2,000 years have passed, that Bible students are now looking at this text as possibly referring to the timing of Israel's restoration and resurrection. The text was obscure enough to keep believers in the church age unaware of the timing of Christ's return. Second, if this text is a prophecy of the coming of the Lord in the third millennium, we do not know when in the third millennium Jesus will come. maybe at the beginning of the third millennium, as in the morning resurrection on the third day. But the uncertainty here fulfills the prophecy. We still don't know the exact time or seasons. And third, Jesus did say, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door. The instruction that no man knows the day or the hour does not preclude that when the time gets close, believers will know it's getting close. So, when did Jesus forsake Israel? Some say when the temple was destroyed in AD 70. Others say when Paul began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles around AD 45. Others say it was around AD 30 to 33 during the Passion Week when Jesus cursed the fig tree and when he said to the Jews, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Matthew 23:39. Could it possibly be in 15 years, in the year 2031, we enter the third millennium and the hour hand strikes 12 on God's prophetic clock? We don't know for sure. We don't want to take the prophecy of Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, and do with it what the prophetic preachers did with the four blood moons last year. We ought not to set dates. But like Mary, we should treasure all of these things in our heart. We should know the prophetic scriptures so that we can eagerly await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ and so that we can keep watching and praying. And Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 is an encouragement to me as much as any other New Testament text concerning the blessed hope, because it reminds me that we might be the last generation before the coming of the Lord. And every generation needs to consider this. But how much more our generation, as we see the day approaching? I don't see anything that still needs to be fulfilled prophetically before the first seal of the apocalypse is broken. And the first horseman comes forth and peace is taken from the earth. The button could be pressed tomorrow. World War III could break out. And the world could unite globally under some Antichrist figure to deal with all the chaos. If you're a Christian, don't think that you have forever on earth to serve Christ. The end of all things is at hand. And if you don't know the Lord, remember that the breath you have just taken may be your final breath. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And the application and the injunction given by Hosea, after he gives us the promise that we will be raised up on the third day, is that we should press on to know the Lord. Because his going forth, his second coming, is as certain as the dawn. And he will come to us like rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this message again, download it, email me, and I'll be happy to send you a free CD of today's program. The website is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. And if God so leads, consider making God and Country a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we long for your soon return. We long to be in your presence. But until then, give us strength and hope to bring in a harvest of souls for your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.